Say, hold on, hold on, be strong, be strong. Hold on, hold on, I gotta say, hold on, hold on, be strong, be strong. Hold on, hold on, I gotta say, say, hold on, hold on, be strong, be strong. Hold on, hold on, look at you, baby, say, hold on, hold on, be strong, be strong. Hold on, hold on, I gotta say, this walk it ain't easy.
Yeah, it's your boy Kingpin, Big Drake, Main Man Radio Show, back tonight with our boy Brent on the line with us, man. Hey, we'll continue some of this NBA talk, and Brent's bringing us all up to speed, man, on the NBA as we discussing a lot of the NBA goings on, and we talked to some little bit of college basketball as well, man. All right, so we just talked about the Lakers, man. I was watching the Heat and the who did Miami play tonight?
The Bulls,
yeah. Miami and the Heat and the Bulls today. The Bulls look a little bit atrocious. they look pretty good, I guess, the first half. Second half, it was one of those where the far superior team dominance just rose to the top. They couldn't keep up.
Yeah.
Did anybody else watch it about any of that?
They got Derrick Rose.
So what now?
They don't have Derrick Rose.
But they didn't have LeBron James today.
Exactly.
So he didn't have LeBron. And so Chicago didn't have Derrick. So you'd think, hey, take your top two off and let's see who's got the best from there. And, man, Miami looked like a top five team in the NBA without LeBron James today. They were playing incredibly. They were moving the ball well. Mario Chalmers looked like he actually knew how to play point guard. Man, it was unbelievable. And they played well. They shot well. Dwayne Wade looked like Dwayne Wade from a couple years ago. It looked like you could even call him Flash today. I mean, they played really well.
And on the bench, LeBron James like a better coach than D'Antoni. So maybe the Lakers should look at hiring him to see if he can do player and coach.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I mean, if you look at Chicago, only in Joakim Noah, who was, most of this is your favorite team, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
You're right. It is.
So you know more about this than I do, but Joakim Noah was their only all-star. And Joakim Noah, he's a defensive guy. You put him on who you want as far as either a center or a power forward. He's going to lock him down, and he's going to get rebounds. That's all Joakim Noah is going to do.
That's so right. He's going to get
Derrick Rose, and he's especially going against the caliber team of Miami. I mean, and I'm going to say this, and, I hate to say this. I'm not going to lie. Chris Bosh is a good basketball player. Now, there is one time where he, in the NBA Finals, had as many rebounds and points as I did sitting at home. Now, that's hard. That's hard. But overall, the dude can play. He alone. And Britt, you said that Dwayne Wade was looking like the Dwayne Wade of old. So you got Dwayne Wade. You got Chris Bosh. Who else does Chicago have?
Carlos Boozer.
Okay.
Shadow of himself. Kirk Heinrich. You look at the names against each other, you can definitely see there's a dominance in just roster in general.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up to see who really, because you brought a good point. They got T. Snelly. I don't know who that is. hold on, Big Drake. You cannot forget about Mike Dunleavy. Did you know Mike Dunleavy was on that team now?
And who is he? I mean, I know who he is, but who is he?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, yeah, okay.
He's a 6'9" 3-point specialist.
That's right. I don't even know how much of a specialist he is. I just think he's somebody. He's a coach's son. That's the reason why he's on the squad.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh man, I didn't know Chicago has Manute Bol too, Nazi Muhammad. So.
Yep.
You're right. So the starting lineup was Joakim Noah, T. Snelly, Mike Dunleavy, Kirk Heinrich, and Carlos Boozer. And the only three subs to come in was DJ Augustine, TJ Gibson, and Nazi Muhammad.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should have.
Yeah.
And they're in fourth place. And they're in fourth place in the East with this.
Is Darren Wells out again with a? Did he blow a knee out again?
He did.
That dude's done, though.
Yeah, man.
He's out. He's done.
I feel bad for the Bulls.
This is the other knee, too.
Wiped out. They were the last pass.
I feel bad for the Bulls, too, man. They got a lot of money committed to that boy.
I don't feel sorry for the Bulls. And in Brent, I think he's going to back me up on this. Because Jerry Krause, when after they had won their second set of three, it was Jerry Krause. And man, this just bothers me about NBA teams. It goes back to even, not back, but a couple of years ago when Dallas won it. When NBA teams win, the GM, the owner, or somebody automatically feels they need to shake things up because Jerry Krause destroyed the Bulls. And if he would have did his job by doing nothing, they might have won three more straight. But it was his idea to let's start from scratch. But whatever, I don't get that. I mean, basketball, the GM, you know, they're quick. Okay, there's a guy at, let's say, Auburn. He's averaging 30 points and 10 rebounds. But they're going to get, you know, this cat from France who's 7 foot, who averages 2 points a game and one rebound a game. They'll go draft him number one overall because he has better upside than the guy from Auburn. It's just so stupid to me. But, you know, hey, I'm not a GM. I mean, I do what I do. Darko Milicic, where is he? What is he doing? He was drafted over Carmelo Anthony. So Jerry Krause is the reason why the Bulls are currently and still in that predicament they're in because of the way they dismantled that team years ago.
Well, just not to just you said Carmelo, same number.
I missed that.
I said Darko and Carmelo have the same number of titles. Neither one of them have quite fulfilled anything.
I'd rather have Darko on my team than Darko.
Yeah, I was going to say, hold on. You say that, but who would you rather have on your squad, Darko or Melo?
I mean, out of those two, I'd rather have Melo.
If you want to win and be, you know, one of those teams in the playoffs there, but never makes it over the hump, then, you know, I understand not breaking up a team. I understand that. But the teams that win championships usually have started either from scratch or they've built upon something that they've already had, that some dominant star that came right after another dominant star. I mean, teams don't win without some dominant player,
but
one way or the other.
In the NBA, I would disagree with you. That in the NBA, traditionally, you do not have a changing of the guards and remain dominant. The only team, to my knowledge, that was able to do was the Lakers twice. No other team was able to do that. The Lakers twice. The Lakers did that when Magic took the reins from Kareem, and they were able to stay dominant. And they were able to do that when Kobe took the reins from Shaq. And they were able to stay semi-dominant. But traditionally,
right,
in the NBA, you maintain your dominance by doing just as Big Drake said, is just adding small pieces to it and keeping a nucleus intact that knows the fundamentals or knows how the team, who are the building blocks of the architect of the team. So the San Antonio Spurs have stayed dominant because they've kept pretty much the team intact. You know, that team has stayed intact for what now? Almost 10 years? And they've continued to maintain dominance. You know, here, there, of course, you know, they're fighting the beast of the East. But most dominant teams in the NBA maintain their dominance by keeping the nucleus intact.
Yes, if you can keep your nucleus. But referring back to the Bulls, like where we were talking about originally, you lose your main player in Michael. And so losing Michael, you've got to figure out what you're going to do next. I mean, that's a total different ball game, losing the greatest player of all time, and now trying to figure out how am I going to build a team.
Michael didn't want to retire.
at that time, and that's evident because he came back 2 years later. I mean, Michael,
I think he'd come back today.
Yes, he would. I'm still waiting. I do agree. I think he's going to play before the end of the season. But Michael didn't want to retire. But like Big Drake said, Jared Cross had a lot to do with Mike deciding to go ahead on and hang it up. Because he decided he was going to blow the team up because he felt like he built that. And if he built it, he could build it again.
Yeah, he definitely has an ego. I agree 100%. But I think that most teams, I mean, the teams that you've seen that's won the titles over the last 10 years have all had a main star. You're right, it could be one that's been with them for a while, then they've developed around the star. But every team, you've got to have one of those top five players on your team, or you're not going to win the championship in the NBA. I mean, as much as I love team basketball, which I love team basketball, you just, outside of the Spurs, you win because of your stars. I mean, even the Spurs won with Tim Duncan, David Robinson, Tony Parker. I mean, those guys are top 10 players in themselves, especially Duncan in his earlier years.
Detroit Pistons didn't, when they won their back-to-backs.
Mm-hmm.
They were the anomaly. They were one of the anomalies, was that Detroit team that had
right.
Wallace and all those boys, because they just had a ragtag bunch of players.
Right. They
played great basketball together. But I agree with you. I think you have to have some dominant player historically in the NBA to be able to win that championship. So I'm looking over the standings in the NBA right now. Is it just me? I think the Eastern Conference, they talk about kind of like they talk about the SEC, that, you know, once, even though I don't think the SEC's comparisons are relevant, but once you get past the top part of the your powerhouses in the Eastern Conference suck. They do. Look, so I'm looking over. There are only four teams in all of the Eastern Conference over 500. Four in all of the Eastern Conference. Do you understand that the Southwest Division of the Western Conference has four teams alone and just in that division over 500?
Yeah.
They're only
Toronto, who is in third in the Eastern Conference, would not even be in the playoff hunt in the Western Conference.
Exactly. There's only one, two, three, four, five, six. There's only six teams in the Western Conference that ain't over 500. Only six teams, man. So, is there any comp? So, is this, from an Eastern Conference standpoint, is this a race between the Pacers and the Heat?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, definitely.
There's no other. we could cut all the playoffs out and just straight go to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yes. All the other ones just warm-up games for them.
They're TV fodder.
Absolutely.
So and who's going to be the dominant? I'm sorry.
Indiana going to get them.
You think Indiana's going to get them this year?
I do.
Okay. I want to see how the new piece gels with the team.
I agree.
I want to see how the new piece gels, because I think they traded for what could potentially mess up chemistry.
I think that a lot will hinge on who gets that number one seed. I think having that home playoff game seven, will make a big difference. I mean, they're just so close.
I agree with you on that one, too. And you know, right now I think the Pacers have the hold on it. But, again, we got a lot of basketball left to play. All right, so out of the Western Conference, if you had to pick somebody right now, you got the Spurs sitting at 40-16. You got the Thunder at 43-14. To me, I don't know. I've watched the Thunder play a couple games here as of recent. Is it just me, or did Serge Ibaka realize he could play basketball? That boy has been beast mode. I watched one game. Yeah. I was like, who is this other person they just signed? Because he is balling. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I've never seen Serge Ibaka be that dominant.
Well, not if there's 40 extra shots to be passed around. Yeah, you take Westbrook out the equation, and you know he's a dominant, great player. But I just think at the point guard position, he shoots entirely way too much. And I think he's a little bit of a selfish player.
He does.
So he's gone. He got all those extra shots, and then you get to see other people who I think has always had the talent and the ability to perform, but because you got one cat that's shooting 40 balls a night, I mean, he's going to get his other than, you know, offensive rebound or a play that's specifically called for him.
Yeah. I mean, are you really going to take a shot out of Westbrook or Durant's hand to give it to Ibaka? I mean, come on. It's just not going to happen.
But the way he's playing right now, you should have, because Westbrook takes some very questionable shots sometimes.
Yeah, he do.
Oh, I'm not Westbrook.
Westbrook thinks he's in range when he crosses midcourt.
Yeah, as far as the point guard goes, I mean, he is not who I want at my point guard. Nah.
He's somebody I want if he's the only player on my team.
Yeah. If he's on the Bulls. Yeah. If I was the Bulls, then I want him on the Bulls.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Hell, but I don't want him to play for the Penguins, the Pelicans right now. I tell you.
Yeah.
But if I got Kevin Durant now, man, he needs to make sure KD gets the ball. He needs to touch it or smell it or something every time we go down.
Yeah. But today they didn't look so tough. I tell you, the Clippers is who I believe, I said at the beginning of the year, I feel like the Clippers, once they find their rhythm, Doc Rivers, watch out. And they had a chance at tomorrow. Big Baby Davis is going to sign with them. He's going to clear waivers, and everything's pointing to the fact that he'll be a Clipper. And they're deep, and they played well today. I mean, they really are starting to buy into the coach's system. And Blake Griffin may be the third best player in the NBA right now. He's playing out of his mind. Wow.
I agree with you. I have watched a little bit of Blake against his football's been over. And Brent, you may agree. Is it just me, or has Blake seemed to really, really work on the other facets of his game in the offseason? Because, you know, and it may have just been the game I watched, but he was hitting top of the key jumpers. He was hitting stuff I hadn't ever seen Blake Griffin hit. Ever. Yeah, I didn't see Blake Griffin hit it in the dunk contest. So, I mean,
he's even shooting 70% from the free throw line. I mean, he's getting to the line, they said, like around 9 times per game, I think it is. I mean, which hardly ever has. He spent a lot of time this offseason. I think he consciously made the decision, I'm going to quit just being the high-flying superstar. I'm going to actually be a superstar. And I think he's taking that step. I think the Clippers are the team to watch out for out of the West.
What's the Clippers starting five?
Can
somebody give me that?
You should have prepped me for that because I could have pulled it up. But it's not for
me. I thought Bill was going to be able to pop it off the top of his head.
Well, you got Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin. Let's see. Yeah, they got J.J. Redick this year, but he's been hurt. He was a really to be back. In the postseason for sure.
Oh, you got my man over there too, Jamal Crawford.
Captain. He got traded there, and he went off today. He had 34 points in the game today.
Yeah, Captain. Captain fill him up himself.
Yeah, Matt Barnes, defensive specialist, is there. He can still shoot a three. I mean, they've got a good team. Hito Turkoglu.
I was shocked to see that team. I thought that boy had retired a long time ago.
Yeah, I think he probably should have the way he's been playing. But he was only I think he's on like the league minimum salary, so I think that it was worth the chance for him.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What do y'all think about the Rockets?
No, I'm sorry. One of their centerpieces is a cupcake. And Dwight Howard. I don't think Dwight Howard has the emotional fortitude to pull a team, to lead a team to a championship. Nor do I think James Harden is a true, okay. I'm not going to say James Harden is not a true superstar. But
you said that last year to begin with. I think he pretty much proved you wrong.
He did. I still, game on the line, game six, game seven, James Harden is nowhere near my top 10 of players I want on my team in crunch time, and I want the ball in their hands.
Yeah, I'm a James Harden fan, man. I really am. I have Kevin Durant on my team, of course. I have LeBron James on my team, of course. I have Paul George on my team. I like those guys. But I mean, James Harden, man, he's a pretty knock-on good player, man. He really is.
I agree.
He's a superstar on the Rockets. I mean, his career was the best move for him.
I agree. I agree with everything you said. Game six, game on the line. I don't want James Harden to be my only. If James Harden is my only option, I don't like my odds as much as probably the other players in the league.
Yeah, I'm with you. I feel like the Rockets will continue to be a top four, top five team in the Western Conference, probably for the next 5 or 6 years. I think they'll consistently be good. But they'll never get over the hump. I just think you can't get over that ego of Dwight Howard. I'm like you. I just don't think James Harden is the guy I want with the ball and him on the line and him being having to be the guy. I don't know that he has that in him. I think he was incredible coming off the bench for Oklahoma City, and he's been really, really good, top 10 player. I mean, this year, but again, when it comes down to it, I just don't trust him.
Yeah, that game six, that game seven action, man. That's. Again, that's a whole different type of player to me. I mean, it's just, you know, that I can count on
him. Him or Steph Curry. Who would you rather take a shot?
Give me Steph Curry. Steph Curry, I've seen game in, game out. That boy seemed to have ice water in his veins. Give me Steph Curry. As I say,
How was his team? How the Warriors look?
The Warriors were ranked. The Warriors have a decent record.
They're into the wrong conference in the West. But they're still, 12 games above 500. They're playing fairly well. I think they are still trying to get that team together. But a couple years now with Mark as their coach, you'd think this would be the year that they could take it over the hop. But well, I guess what they've got a tough division though. I mean, just the Western Conference is. It's loaded.
Let me throw this name out here. What about the Portland Trail Blazers?
Team basketball.
Because right now the Portland Trail Blazers are sitting in the. They're sitting in the number three hole.
Are they three?
Yep.
Wow. I didn't realize they were that high.
Yeah, they're sitting in the number three hole behind the Thunder and the Spurs.
Oh, wow. LaMarcus Aldridge. That it's boy can ball.
Yeah. And Lewis.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'd rather have them with the ball game 6 or 7 over Harden.
Wow.
I would too.
No, that's from Harden. I guess I'm standing on the honor by myself because I really like that guy. I do.
I like James Harden during the regular season. I like him.
Yeah.
I like him game one through five. But the next time, I want him on my team. I mean, no, I ain't going to say I don't want him on my team. He's not the player I want the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
I haven't come, and I'm kind of like Big Brent. Give me the Trailblazers. I drop it down low to my man, Aldridge. I give it to Wesley Matthews. I'd even give it to Iliad. because again, I think they're playing very sound basketball. I think they're that those players would either make it happen or find the open man. Their pride wouldn't get in the way to find the open man.
Yeah.
I think James is very confident in his ability, and if he got the ball in his hands, he believes that he can dunk over Jesus.
James Harden is a young Carmelo Anthony. That's the way I look at him. I feel like he'll be a scorer. Keep you exciting. Keep you in the playoffs. Regular season, great. Postseason, I just don't know that he has the defensive ability. I don't know. Just don't seem like I can trust him.
Man, that's a tough comparison now.
Yeah, he's talking about Carmelo. Wow.
Because I don't like Carmelo. Carmelo would never win a championship in the NBA until he gets 30 years in the league and he decided to go play league minimum somewhere. So until you get one of them Juwan Howard rings.
Yeah,
they
just he's such a good teammate with
the
team. That's
right.
He's not a teammate, though. I'm not a teammate.
Huh?
Carmelo's not a good teammate.
No.
I mean, if I was in the NBA and, either I heard that I'm getting traded to Carmelo's team or Carmelo is getting traded to my team, I mean, it's going to be like this dark cloud that just came over me. I'm going to be depressed. I'm not going to want to wake up. I'm not going to want to eat. I might retire that day.
But Big Drake, you know one good thing about going to Carmelo's team, though? His wife tastes like Honey Nut Cheerios. That's all I'm
saying. Oh, yeah. Yes, according to Kevin Durant. Yeah, I'm a Kevin Garnett. Guy myself, though.
So what now?
I'm a Cinnamon Toast Crunch guy, so I don't know.
All right, man. Like I said, I think it's going to be great Western Conference basketball again. I think in the Eastern Conference, you're really going to just wait to the Eastern Conference Finals. But I think throughout the entire playoffs, the Western Conference is going. Every game, I think, is going to be worth watching throughout the entire playoffs.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be interesting just to see who gets in, let alone the games, but who even gets in. Because I think they got a lot of teams that are contending. And that'll be balling out for shooting for those line spots. And I'm on record right now saying, though, I'm kind of with Brent a little bit about the Clippers being the team to watch only because I think that their coach is the best coach in the Western Conference.
Okay. Over Popovich?
Yep. I take Doc over Pop.
Okay.
Because remember, again,
we watched
Pop. And Big Dre, we talked about on the show, Pop, to us, failed to make several adjustments to be able to beat the Heat because I think he had him in the crosshairs, but I think he got out-coached by a coach that cannot coach.
Yeah. Well, a coach that doesn't have to coach.
That does not have to coach. Yeah.
No.
You know, and I think he failed to make the proper adjustments to make his team, get his team in position to win that championship. But I think had that been Doc, wouldn't have happened. I don't think it would have happened. I'm really high on Doc's coaching ability.
I do agree because we talked about it, last year during the finals, how, he was a little suspect on some of his calls. But I'm not going to take one NBA finals and use it as an entire body of work. Because, normally, and that's why it was so jarring that I can't believe Pop is doing this. I can't believe he's not doing this. Because normally he does all those things.
That's right.
So, I was still thinking.
I think he's gotten stubborn. I think he's gotten stubborn in his old age. And I think he's been, I've won 3 titles and doing things this way. And so I'm going to do it this way regardless. But he wasn't playing LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh when he was winning those 3 titles either.
And I think Doc's a little more progressive of being willing to make the adjustment based off of who his team is and who he's playing. I think Doc makes those adjustments.
Yeah. Okay. I can see that.
You know, because he coached the oldest team in basketball. When he coached the Celtics. Well, the oldest team until the Spurs came on last year. He did.
And Doc did have that team win game up on the Heat.
That's right.
They did.
That's right. And for them, I don't think they got out coached. They just couldn't keep up. What he had them up. They went flat on one side.
But the Clippers, they don't have that age to them. They're a young team. I mean, they've got on that locker room. So I'd just say they're dangerous. I'm like you, though. I think the Western Conference, every single matchup, I mean, even as the way it sits right now, looks as though you don't want to miss a game. I mean, you could you could potentially miss an incredible series if you miss any of those games.
That's right. All right, two things before we leave there. One, the Knicks are going to buy out Meta World Peace contract. I don't know who cares. Well, I mean, if whatchacallem signed a 10-day contract is news, then Meta World Peace being on the free agent wire should be news. But so Meta World Peace will be without a team here very shortly. And then the second thing, so LeBron, there were people talking about LeBron James will be starring in Space Jams 2. And LeBron James camp says that that is not the case, that that is a no. He will not be starring in Space Jams 2. I don't know why anybody care, but nonetheless, there it is. So, oh, man. All right, fellas, before we wrap up, man, I want to throw a little bit of the NFL Combine stuff at you. Again, Teddy Bridgewater. So this is the funniest thing. Teddy Bridgewater. You know, and Big Brent, so on here, on the Red Made Men Radio Show, we do not understand the infatuation with Teddy Bridgewater. All right? We do not believe that Teddy Bridgewater is an elite quarterback. We don't even think, we question whether or not he is a good quarterback. He is just good. That's it. He should be a serviceable backup in the NFL. He should not be talked about as a top 10 pick. He should be talked about in the first day of the draft, all right? He should be a third-round pick at best. So we do not buy into the Teddy Bridgewater stuff. So this is the funniest thing out of the combines that I've read so far. Teddy Bridgewater has elected to only do the board jump.
Broad jump?
The broad jump. I'm sorry, I said board. The broad jump.
Yeah.
He's elected to only do the broad jump. And so Taj Boyd said, what? I thought we came here to compete. Because Taj Boyd is doing everything. But again, Taj is trying to get into the draft. Teddy Bridgewater has already pretty much been guaranteed at least a first-round pick somewhere.
Yeah, and I'm going to be 100% honest. If I were coming out of college and I knew for a fact I would be a first-rounder, I wouldn't participate at all in the combine.
I wouldn't either.
And the reason why I say that, I mean, we and GMs and everybody put so much stuff into the combine when most of these drills really don't relate to football.
They really don't.
I mean, they don't relate to me physically being on the field, going against somebody and playing football.
Nope.
But we get starstruck where Cousin Seth ran a full song. Well, Cousin Seth bent a gazillion pounds. That don't mean he's good at football. Yes, he can work out very well.
Right.
He looks great. He was great half naked. Because, you know, they're walking around and that all the time. Kudos for him. But how does that translate to being on the field in football? And you do have some sleeper guys that, yeah, of course I'm biased to the SEC. It is what it is. And I think our record stands for itself. No, the SEC didn't win a national championship last year, but we still sent somebody from the SEC.
Yep.
If I have a cat who has gone against SEC caliber day in, day out, week in and week out, and he has performed at a dominant level, so what if he runs an 8 flat in the 40? I don't care about that. Especially if I'm drafting an offensive lineman, you're never going to run a 40-yard on the field. Yeah, you might run 40 yards because you just pancake the guy in front of you and you want to run down and celebrate with your teammates. Yeah, that's cool. But we get so caught up in stats and numbers, and especially if it doesn't translate to a guy who, because the combine, all that says to me, okay, you have a guy either leaving early or it's his senior year, so he's done with classes, or he's decided not to go to classes because he's going to prepare for the combine, and he has devoted 100% of his time just to working out, to get his 40 down, to get his broad jump a little farther, to get his vertical up a little inch or two higher. But how does that translate to you actually being able to bust a man's butt in front of you? That's all I care about.
Show me how vicious you could be in 10 yards. That's what I need to know.
Yeah, that's all I care about. Okay, you know, a defensive end. Okay, you're going to go against, you know, nowadays these guys are 340, 350. Most of these defensive ends are 265, 270. How are you going to handle this big D? That's what I care about.
That's right.
And you get that on a day-to-day basis in the SEC game. You mostly get that. So I got a guy who's been dominant, not just okay, but dominant. I don't care what he does at the combine. Because who was the last year that was from Alabama? Off of the lineman last year.
Oh,
there are so many going in the draft last year.
It was old buddy that liked to keep his belly out.
Yeah, was that guy.
Carpenter, James Carpenter. You
know, that dude right there was just a straight monster.
Yeah.
But come combine time, he didn't post numbers that people thought he should have posted. He didn't do as well in the drills as people thought he should have done. But you put on that film, old buddy's a straight monster.
That's right. But to their credit, though, Big Drake, you know, before the combine, it looked like all he did was eat 3,000 chicken wings, though. I mean, he looked like a fat slob in the combine. I agree with you. Some people only dedicate to working out, but you cannot only dedicate your life to sucking chicken wings, though, either. So, since the draft over, I can suck all these wings down.
I would not. Now, if they call me tomorrow, I participate in it because I want to try to get me a job. I want to see a lot of
people. Right.
But if I know I'll be the number one pick or top 29 with the first round, I'm striking.
That's right. I'm not doing nothing. I wait till you on my field on my terms, which is my pro day at my school.
Yeah, and they're probably all they do is situate your highlights. So right. I'm good at this particular drill. Yeah. I'm gonna do this drill right here.
Yep.
I'm gonna do this drill here. So I really am great at this. I mean,
I get the total high receivers.
Let's just watch film. Yeah. I mean, I'm gonna tell you everything. My coach is always here. The iron sky don't lie. You can be at prop. For Drake, you did certain things. No, I didn't cuss. I did this. I did that. Watch the film, coach. You right. I should
have
been
doing
that. Right.
I and this guy don't lie, man. So
with that logic, does this mean you feel Johnny Manziel should be number one pick?
Oh no, I don't think he should be number one. But I think I saw briefly that he ran like a 4.8, 4.7 or something in the
40. He ran a 4.6, 4.6, 8. Yeah,
4.6, 8.
I'm perfectly fine with that because when people were running after him, they couldn't catch him.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, in the SEC, you know, when somebody ran after him, they didn't catch him.
Nope.
He had the quicks enough to evade him, jump over him, go through him, go around him, and somehow still get passes off. Now, I will say this. He won't be able to do that as much in the NFL because, you know, you got to think, okay, you got high school ball. You know, everybody don't make the high school team. I mean, it's 2014. Everybody might make it nowadays because they don't believe in cutting kids and all this and that. But, hey, when I was coming up, everybody didn't make the high school team. Okay, so you got the best players out of your school's area. Out of those best players, they only go to play college. Out of those best players in the entire nation get a chance to play NFL ball.
Right.
So everybody can run. Everybody's quick. Everybody's strong. I don't know if he will be able to do the same thing on a consistent basis in the NFL as far as being basic.
I'll say this. As a Dallas Cowboy fan, I'll trade Tony Romo and two cupcakes for him. Right now today, I will trade two. I will trade Tony Romo and two cupcakes, and I may want to negotiate a third cupcake if it really says it. And know that the cupcakes are the far more important part of that deal to me.
Yeah.
I would take Jetty football all day long on the star, baby. I would. He's proven. Johnny's proven.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the same man that would take Tim Tebow over. I would trade Tony Romo for Tim Tebow as well, though. So take that for what it's worth. But I'm just saying.
Yeah. He
Wait, Johnny ain't proven, but I'm just saying, you know what you're getting. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, you take me over Tony Romo.
I would.
Yeah, so, I mean, you just really have a bad, bad taste in your mouth, which I'm not knocking you for having.
I
might have it too. But you just have a real bad taste in your mouth about Tony Romo.
I almost hate Tony Romo more than Nick Saban. I really do. I almost hate Tony Romo.
Oh, come on now.
No, Brent, I hate Tony Romo. Big Drake, I hate Tony Romo. So, like I said, man, we'll check in a little bit maybe next week after all the drafts completed, talk about some of these workout warriors and see what some of these cats going to end up. I thought it, again, was pretty funny that Teddy Bridgewater chose to do the broad jump, and that's it. Like I said, Johnny Manziel ran decent. He still was in top two or three for quarterbacks. Guess who the fastest quarterback was? Brendan, you've already looked it up. Don't tell me. Don't say it then. The fastest quarterback was Logan Thomas for Virginia Tech. Yes. Logan Thomas.
Six five
and about 234, I think, is what he measured in at. And Logan Thomas ran a 4.57 or 4.58, somewhere around. Or maybe the 4.6.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Okay, I mean, perfect example. You have a guy who is the fastest quarterback at the combine, but that didn't translate on the field. I mean, I would have never thought that.
Yep. Logan Thomas, I would draft Logan Thomas with a second or third round pick and guarantee him he would never make the football field unless he's wearing number 89 at tight end. Because what I did know, Logan Thomas came to Virginia Tech as a tight end. He was converted from tight end. He was a number one recruit in the country at tight end, a five-star recruit. At tight end,
wow!
And he was converted to a quarterback. At Virginia Tech. So I would draft Logan Thomas with a number two second round pick, but I would guarantee him he would never see the football field unless he wears number 89. And our quarterbacks do not wear number 89. So we had one cat that almost broke Chris Johnson's record. He ran a 4.26. Chris Johnson's record is a 4.24. But again, it's from a no-name school, and I think he weighs 127 pounds soaking wet. So it really doesn't translate to anything. But you had some great times out there. Like I said, I told you guys about Greg Robinson balled out all week. Was top three in every category for a offensive lineman. I think he really made him some money because I think he has surged himself to being the number one tackle taken at the two between two and six. So I think he really, really made some money at the combines, which they expect him. Trey Mason had a decent workout. Wasn't blistering. He ran a 4.54 or 4.56, I think, which was about middle of the pack. And it was the upper part for the supposed, top tier running backs. Of the people projected to go in the first three rounds of running backs, I think he was the second fastest out of all of those. Only person fast, I think, was DeAnthony Thomas from Oregon. But he was faster than Lachey Siech Strunk from Baylor. He was faster than most of the other running backs of his. He was faster than old buddy from Alabama State that went to came from Georgia.
Oh, Crowell,
yeah. So he did decent. He didn't blaze a 4.4 like he expected to, but I think he's still wearing fast enough to make his money. Again, that kind of goes back to like what Big Drake say. All the stuff I've been reading about, they talking about Trey. All I will say is watch the film.
Watch the tape.
I and the sky don't lie. Watch the tape. You want to know what you're getting? Watch the tape with him. Because unlike Johnny Football, I think running back, he has seen the best of the best. I mean, Johnny did too. But I'm saying I think a running back's college ability, especially in the SEC, I think could translate a little bit more true to form in the NFL.
Eddie Lacy. Just look at Eddie Lacy.
That's right.
Yeah.
He was a beast and then ended up being NFL Rookie of the Year. You know, yeah. I think Mark Ingram would have been similar. Well, to me, again, coming out, Mark was overinflated anyway. He wasn't as good as they said he was anyhow. But then, too, he still went to the Saints who weren't going to run the ball with him because they had a running back by committee.
Right.
But had he went to a run-dominated team, I think he would have been far better than he ended up being.
Yeah, he went to the wrong side team for what he does.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But that year he won it. Either Donovan Smith should have won the Heisman Trophy, or the white running back that backs up Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, Toby Gerhardt.
Toby, yeah. That dude right there in college was something special.
He was a beast. He was a beast.
Yeah.
All right, big fellas, before we jump off, I want to teaser it. I don't want y'all to give me too much because we're going over on the folks, but. The proposed Saban rule, as Steve Spurrier has coined it, does it pass this week?
You know what? I don't know. But all I'm going to say is it shows that we got the right guy at office, but he is dead.
Yeah. Not a chance.
You don't think it passes?
I don't think there's a chance it passes. I just can't see them in that much of a step. You just take too many things out of the game, the hurry up, the no huddle. It's too much.
I want to say this now. Again, don't y'all shoot me, all right? I want to say this in defense of Saban. I don't see this as the Saban rule. I see this as the Brett Bielema rule, whatever that dude coach at Arkansas. I see it as his rule. I think Saban has mentioned it. Saban, you know, stated his concern. I don't think Saban is out here lobbying for this rule because, to me, Saban is too prideful to admit there's a portion of football that he can't handle.
Yeah.
I think he would never admit that there's something he couldn't handle in football.
Well, I read an article that, I mean, Saban had a lot of quotes in there. I mean, from what I understand, Saban is the one pushing it.
You know, they took a lot of the stuff out of context of stuff Saban said during some of the pressers before last season. Saban has not been on the stomping ground since this rule has actually made it to the committee. It has been Brett Bielema, the coach for Arkansas, that's been the main proponent pushing this. Saban was interviewed by them, but Saban has not been out to lobbying his point or pushing for this rule at all since they've actually made it to the committee. The stuff they're taking for Saban, for the most part, is stuff that he said prior to last season during SEC media days. When he made some of the comments about the safety of the game and the speed of the game and all those type things. But he has not been on the stomping ground right now. And again, I think secretly in his heart, yeah, he'd like for them to take it out. All right? But I think he has way too much pride to be able to admit that there's been a part of football introduced that he feels that gives somebody an unfair advantage over Saban. I think he feels too prideful about his process to ever admit that. Regardless, I hope it don't pass. Uh-huh. I think it's stupid.
Well, I saw another article. I didn't read it, but it was talking about the rule change. And the title pretty much just simply said, I hope college football doesn't make the same mistake Major League Baseball did. I was trying to think of the symbols. And if I go Major League Baseball, it's tempting. I can go MLB, but I didn't have a brain fart this day, so excuse me. And what baseball did was they really slowed the game down.
Right.
If you look at the world that we live in with all the technology and social media, everything is fast-paced, instant, now. And as you see, we've evolved. College football has evolved into speed and hurry up.
That's right.
And if they try to slow it down, it's going to really ruin the game.
I agree.
That's what I say.
I mean, because, again, you like having all the facets of the game. Because it'd be different is that if this has taken away any of the other styles. but it hasn't. Mm-hmm. You know the Alabamas of the other world, they're still dominant as well.
This
has just made other teams that don't have, that may not have the hog mileage that the Bamas have, that's able to get the speed and finesse and still be just as dominant, or the competition be just as strong in the game of football.
Yeah.
And so just,
yeah, it just seems that throughout college football history, though, there's just constantly been an ever-evolving offensive system that comes out every 7 or 8 years, and it just changes. And that's the beauty of college football.
It is.
You know, that we've seen so many minds that have come up with something that somebody can't stop until somebody figures out how to stop it. And then we switch offenses again to find something that somebody can't stop. And it's just, I'd hate to take that away from make us limit the college football mind.
The Nebraska heyday, the triple option couldn't be stopped.
That's right.
That triple option of Tom Osborne ran by Tommy Frazier, it was the best in the business.
Mm-hmm.
And they were dominant with it, you know. And so I agree with you, man. Every so often there comes that offensive wrinkle, or the brainchild of some offensive genius that changes the game of football and changes how we think, you know. And we've had to adjust. So I would hate for rules to level the playing field and not people like defensive-minded people or geniuses come up with how to stop it. Because that's what makes the game great.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, fellas, it's been real. It's been fun. It's been real fun. Brent, man, we thank you for coming on, man, dropping great knowledge with the game of basketball, man. I think you fit in really well, so we definitely won't let you be a stranger on the show, man. We'll definitely be getting you back on, and since you are a special guest, man, you get first say of any final words you got to our listening audience.
Well, I just simply want to say again, thank you for letting me come on and share. There's nothing, very few things in life but talking more about sports. Obviously, my wife and my Lord Jesus Christ, some of that sports is about number three. And so I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And again, if there's ever any time you need me, I'm right next door. So I'd love to be on anytime.
Man, that's a great man to have, man. Brent said, my Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Hey, Brent, we are in the same boat, bro, my brother, man. Sports and Jesus is my number two topics. And I love my family as well, man. So definitely, man, thank you for coming on. Big Drake, final words for the listeners.
Peace, war, eagle, keep the faith, pride. And I appreciate, I've gotten some comments from when Kingpin posted and sent out the information, whether it was text, Twitter, Facebook, about my interview, and I appreciate the positive comments that I've gotten. And keep looking out. I'm going to keep going with that thing. The Lord is blessing me like he's never blessed me before. And I also want to share, and I want people to really try to forgive. Forgiving is a very difficult thing to do sometimes, because as human beings, in the nature that we have, we don't ever want to feel like we came up with the short end of the stick. Well, I'm not going to let that person talk to me that way. I'm not going to let them do that. I'm not going to let them get away with that. But as we can sit back and look at the bigger picture and understand why we're here and the impact that we're supposed to have on other people's lives, I really want us to have a clean heart and to forgive, to really truly work on forgiving somebody that wronged you in whatever manner it may have been, but not to forgive to make them feel better, but to forgive to make you feel better.
Boy, that's deep, man. It takes a big level of maturity to be willing to forgive, especially when you don't feel like you've been in the wrong, but somebody has wronged you. But it is what we are called to do, because as we try to mimic Christ, we know, and you know, the example I have to always give myself when struggling with forgiveness or struggling with people and struggling with how people act or treat me, I have to remind myself how Christ must feel at that every single day I continue to do things that go against his will for me. And yet he loved me enough to still die on the cross and give me everything that he's given me. And I still fall short. And so when I think about that, it's easier for me to forgive you because daily he forgives me. And so that's, you know, piggybacking off what Big Drake says, let's keep life in perspective, not through looking at through your eyes, but looking at through the eyes of the cross. When you think about all the things that God has given you, blessed you with, graced you with, and provided mercy over you for, it's easier for us then to look at our brothers and our sisters and tell them, I love you in spite of what may have occurred between us. And I forgive you because Christ first forgave us. So the song I'm going to play tonight, man, Bishop Paul S. Morton is one of my favorite artists. And this song simply says, bow down. And I just want to encourage somebody that I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your struggle. You may not be in a season of struggle. You may be currently in a season of increase to where God is getting ready to expand your territory and do something absolutely amazing and phenomenal to you. But no matter where you are, I do want to encourage and challenge you to never forget to stay bowed down into a humble position of submission to God so that he can unlock the miracles and the blessings that he is trying to bestow on you. The only way we can do that is to stay submitted, stay humble, and stay focused on who our King is. So this song is simply titled Bow Down. Please enjoy it, man. Hey, I thank you guys for joining us. You know, we love talking sports. We like to cut up. We like to joke. We have fun. We inform. We inspire, hopefully, and we motivate and encourage. All of that wrapped up in one show. It's the Made Men Radio Show, man. Tell somebody else about it. Share the word. Pass it on. And if you tried to access the web this week, we had some technical difficulties. But hopefully, well, if you listen to it now, we got them fixed. So thank you guys for shouting out and telling me we had some issues and we were able to get them fixed, man. Hey, it's your boy Kingpin Big Drake with our boy Big Brent in the studio today. The Made Men Radio Show. Tell somebody else about it, man. We love you. Two fingers in the air. Deuces.
Peace.
All over this building, let's lift our hands in the presence of the Lord. We're going to worship him. The Bible declares that we are to worship him in the beauty of holiness. I want every hand lifted. If you want to close your eyes, go ahead and close them. But I want you to focus upon Jesus now. For he alone is worthy to be worshiped and worthy to be adored. Can I get an amen on that? Can I get an amen on that? The Bible records in Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 11, it says, when the wise men came to the place where baby Jesus was, it says, when they saw him, they fell down and worshiped him. Everybody say, fell down. They bowed down and they worshiped him. And the scripture says, and then their treasures were opened. And they presented unto him gifts. And therein is a glorious revelation of the Spirit. And it is this, that when you and I will humble ourselves and begin to worship the treasure that is in this earthen vessel begins to open up. Somebody say yes. And the gifts of the Spirit of God that are within us begin to flow. I believe if we will worship God with our whole heart, our whole spirit and soul, God's presence and power will begin to move in this place. People can be healed and delivered even while we're worshiping and recording. Does anybody believe that with me? I want you to lift up your hands now and begin to lift up your voices. That's right. Just begin to open your own mouth and begin to worship him. Out of your spirit, just begin to bless his holy name. If he's done anything for you, just begin to worship. Just begin to worship. That's right. Begin to worship. Begin to bless his name. Begin to bless his name.
come on and bless his name. Come on, worship. Bow down and worship him. Worship him. Oh, worship him. Bow down and worship.
You've been better to me than I've been to myself.